like to address something or approach a subject a little bit on some of the same lines as last Sunday. Last Sunday we were felt burdened to, our burden was that we would realize the power of the will of man. And how powerful an element that is in our lives. And yesterday is when I came home from the work day down at Monarch, came in the back door, and my wife was listening to a message of Brother Clifford Wilson, and I didn't hear much because I had some chores to take care of, but one of the things that he said all the time I was in the house was that if we have a if we have a desire to make changes in our life to be pleasing to God, He has enough grace to help us be able to do it. But you got to have a desire. You got to have a will, a want to. There's an opportunity for us to make dramatic changes and improvements in our life if we want it, if we have a will for it, if God has enough grace, if we'll avail ourselves of it. He can't put it in you. He can't make you do it, but He wants you to. And when you want it, that is a powerful combination, and I want us to always remember that. When you have a will to please the Lord, when you combine that with the grace of God, there is going to be some changes. That's why I feel that the gospel message and the deliverance of the gospel is so much more, or the deliverance that's in the gospel, I'll say it that way, is so much more powerful than any kind of anonymous group that's out there, such as AA and NA and all of those things. The gospel makes you a different person. It changes you. You can become new, a new creature. You can have power over the things that used to control you and dictate things to you. So I'd like to talk today not about the will of man, but I want to talk about the glory and the honor of man. And in the Bible, they spell honor with a U, so I'm going to leave it like that. At least in the King James Version. But if you type honor into your cell phone and you put a U in it, it'll pop up that you misspelled it. So anyway, that's a side thought. So I didn't look the word glory up in the dictionary, but I just was thinking about this, and I come up with a definition of my own, and I hope you'll accept it. What does it mean to glorify something or glorify anything? You know, if you glorify something, you want to talk about it. You want to promote it. You want to, you don't want to just tell it one time, but given it an opportunity, you will tell it every time you get a chance if you really are glorying in something. If a young person tried to elude the police officer because and the lights came on and all of that, and he successfully done that, do you know that he'll tell that story more than once? And it won't be any secret. It'll be something that he passes around and around and around. There was this time the police got after me and I outrun them with my car, or I outmaneuvered them and lost them. And they'll glory in that. All right? That's what it means to glorify something. And you don't get tired of hearing about it if you glory in it. Dad, would you tell that story again? You remember that? Or Mom, would you tell that? That's glorying in it. You see? It's something that you don't want to diminish. Instead, you glorify means that you promote it. You relish in it. Okay? So that's just our definition we're going to work with. And honor, to honor someone or something, here again, this is my home definition, is to hold something in high enough regard that it controls or dictates your actions. Did you know if you really honor something, you treat it with more respect than something that you don't honor? If you go to the cabinet and you take out a piece of glassware, might be crystal, it might be something else, and it belonged to your great-great-grandmother, and it's something that survived the trip on the Oregon Trail or whatever dramatic event might have happened. And if you pull this out, did you know that most likely you don't just reach up and grab it with one hand, but you've got two hands on it? There's a level of honor for that. This was great-great-great-great-grandmother's or grandfather's. Or this is the thing that I esteem very highly. So it dictates to me how I handle it and how I treat it. If it's just any other, you know, sometimes we'll take, I think of the times I see maybe somebody waiting tables in a restaurant or something, and they might, some of them are pretty talented at holding two or three glasses full of whatever they're serving in one hand, and they got these glasses. Well, you're not going to do great-grandma's stuff like that. There's a more honor for that. There's more respect for it. There's more carefulness in your actions. You're going to make sure you don't take any chances of dropping it and breaking it. So I'd like to go now to the book of Daniel, look in the 7th chapter, and I want us to think about honor and glory today. I begin by setting the stage and looking here in Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel is relating a vision and a dream that he had. And maybe I'll start at the first verse and read some of this just to try to help us get the picture. It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So he begins to paint this picture of the things that he saw and illustrate it with words. And that's the best I can do. I'm not very good with the dry erase marker up here on the board. A few Sundays ago, I tried to draw something and it just needed help. I wasn't doing very good. But the best we can do in trying to minister or communicate with words is try to build a picture in your mind. So Daniel here is beginning to relate to us what he saw in his spiritual vision and in the dream that he began. So he begins to enumerate the things and paint a picture through words that we can see in our minds. So when it gets down to the ninth verse, 7th chapter, he says, I beheld, something else he saw in his vision. He said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So I don't know what comes to your mind, but in my mind, he is painting a picture as he was looking in his vision and saw events transpire and come and follow their natural course of the vision. And he said, I beheld until all these other thrones, all these other elevated things were cast down, and he got a vision of God the Creator. And he got a vision of him. He says here that he had garments that was white as snow and hair of his head like pure wool. And if you look that pure wool phrase up, it means that his hair was white. And there was something about this vision that he saw. I believe Daniel immediately had a great level of honor and respect in his heart. He recognized, of anything else, he doesn't say that he totally understood everything, and we can read about Daniel's visions and his prophecies, and at the end we think, well, we feel like we understand a little bit of it, but we didn't understand all of it. But in the midst of all of that, Daniel caught a vision of God. There was no question in his mind, he was talking about God. All right? There was a level of honor and respect. This is the one that put all of this in order. This is the one that created the dry land and the sea and created the light and the darkness and separated. This is the one that created mankind. This is God. My vision is of white robes and white hair. So I want to go on a little bit further. Just want us to catch a picture of what it means to have honor for God and for anything, all right? So let's go to Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and look in the 32nd verse, I believe. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. This chapter has a lot of specific instructions for the Israelites. Leviticus is the law that God gave the Levites to hand down to the children of Israel. All right, these are the details of the law. Yesterday, I got there and I took some rakes and some concrete tie tools, and that's what they said they were going to be tying rebar and leveling gravel. So that's what I thought I was going to be doing. And I got there, and Brother Mike said, I got this conduit we need to put in for some electrical and some water, and here's the drawing. Well, on the drawing was a lot of details. And I wasn't real familiar with the exact details. I was going to be a laborer yesterday. And instead of a laborer, he gave me a responsibility. And so I had this this drawing, and I'm trying to sort out, now it's 39 feet 6 inches from the outside wall to this wall and 6 feet 6 inches to the next wall, but where's the dimension from here to where my pipe needs to be? And I was looking this drawing over, and it becomes, if you've ever looked at one of those drawings, it ends up being pretty complicated. So the Levitical law became fairly complicated and detailed, and this chapter is giving a lot of details of what the Israelites' responsibilities were and how they were supposed to behave. All right? So we get to, I say that instead of reading through it, because y'all would probably go to sleep on me. And this morning I want us to get one detail. One of the things that God said, this is what you ought to do. This is how you ought to behave. All right. So in the 19th chapter, in the 32nd verse, he said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. This is the same God that Daniel got a vision of, the same God that created the earth that we know, that created humanity. And he said here, this is your instruction. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. So here's the instruction for you to honor a man. All right? And here's how you do it. If there's someone that's gray, not, I grayed prematurely, okay? But there is something about the gray hair is an indicator of age. It's an indicator of experience. It's an indicator of wisdom, all right? And he says, the hoary head, the one that is, their hair has turned white, that has life's experience under their belt, he said, rise up. So, one commentator says this, Phagius relates that according to the tradition of the Hebrews, a young man was obliged to rise when an ancient man was at the distance of 4 cubits. You know how far away that is? That's 4 of these, from elbow to the tip of the finger. So when an older man came within 4 cubits, maybe from here to this wall right here, when he came within that distance of me, it didn't matter if he was passing by or coming towards me. The young man was to stand up. It comes from this scripture. He was to stand up and sit down again as soon as he passed him by. This was that it might appear it was done in honor of him. In other words, if the older man was coming by, wasn't even stopping to talk to him. When he was walking by, he was to stand up, and when he got past, sit back down. And that was to honor a man. Why is it that you were instructed to do that? We have a lot of scriptures that tells us not to become lifted up and all of that. But this is a scripture that says that we ought to honor a man. He says, in this respect, this is another commentator, to ancient persons is due to them from younger persons because of their having been in the world before them and of their long continuance in it, and because of the favor and honor God has bestowed upon them and granted them long life, as also because of the experience, knowledge, and wisdom they may be supposed to have. So it's, why are you honoring an older person? One of the reasons is this God, this image of God that Daniel saw, this is a representative of that. God's blessing has been on this person for them to come to the age that they have to be honored to some extent, or God wouldn't have let them live that long. This is what the commentator is saying. All right? You know, it's almost completely lost in our culture for a younger person to stand up and give the older person a seat. That used to be very customary, but not so anymore. Much less to just stand up if the older person was passing by, just to honor them and their age. But the old law here, the Levitical law, a lot of details in there, but one of them was that the younger was to honor the older one, to give a sense of respect for their age and God's blessings on them. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in the 31st verse. I trust that y'all don't feel like I've slipped off the edge and become humanistic or anything like that, but I want us to realize that God has given mankind some things here. He wants us to recognize the power of our will, and He wants us to recognize that there is a level of honor and glory in man, and it needs to be used appropriately, not inappropriately, okay? So let's go to Proverbs, the 16th chapter, and the 31st verse. He says here, the hoary head, talking about aged person, is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. We could jump to some conclusions and say if you got gray hair and evidence of older age, maybe in the scripture there in Leviticus, it was talking about honoring the face of the ancient one. just because somebody is older and maybe their skin doesn't fit like it used to and they have some wrinkles and all of those things, that's not something to dishonor. You know, it's something that there ought to be a level of honor for that. And the world is trying to avoid the honorable things in this world. You know, I can go probably get something to rub on my hair and make it the color it used to be. It'd probably look pretty fake and y'all would pick up on it real quick. But it's just, we can do that. You can do things to make your skin fit better and all of those things in our world today. But the Bible says that there's a level of honor and there's a level of glory that comes with that. You know that the people, I used to have a neighbor to my parents, older lady. She's old enough to maybe even be called ancient. Lived across the street from my parents. And I was just amazed. I was a young boy, I don't remember, maybe 14, 15 years old, and she hadn't lived there a long time. She moved in when the neighbors moved away, and she had a Cadillac when she moved there, and then she got rid of that, and she got a Z28 Camaro, which I thought that was pretty neat, but why did she buy it? And she would dye her hair, and she always put lots of makeup on, and she would wear high heels, and she would come over and talk to my mother. She was older than my mother, and she acted like she was young enough to be my mother's daughter. It just didn't fit. And I didn't feel like she deserved much honor and glory. I just didn't, you know, but she didn't act her part. And this verse here in Proverbs says, where was we at? I'm sorry. 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So the evidence that you're older, and you're, if it's found in the way of righteousness, there's something to glory about. How many of you have gloried in something that, in the past, I hope, how many of you have gloried in something that you realize now you probably shouldn't have gloried in? I've been there. I've gloried in things in my past that I shouldn't have. You know, how many plates can you fill up at the buffet and eat it all? You know, I've gloried in that when I was younger. And how much can you do of this or that or something else? And now you think, you know, that was about the most foolish thing that I ever done. But I made sure that other people knew that I could eat four plates full from the buffet or whatever it was, you see. But he says here, the hoary head, the one that has the evidence of age, is a crown of glory. It's something to be gloried in or glorify if it be found in the way of righteousness. How many of us today like to glory in our knowledge of someone that's old and been faithful to God? I think it's a good thing we ought to glory in. I think it's good to recount the ones living or passed on that have really been an example for us to follow. Someone that we say, that's an anchor point in my faith, in my confidence, in my knowledge of what God can do. I think about those that I've known. Some of them you might know, and some of them you've never heard their names. That's been faithful. I knew a man that we got tangled up in a relationship that he knew God wouldn't approve of as a young man, probably in his early 20s, mid-20s at the latest. And I knew him when he was in his 60s and 70s. And he stepped away from that. This man supported his children. He lived faithful to the Lord. Never heard him say much of anything in the services, but I remember riding with him in the car. I was pretty young, and I'd went with him to help keep him awake. We were going to a work day, and he told me a little bit about his life, and not very much details, but told me his desire to be a help financially. He'd had a good job. I knew of several of the saints that he'd bought a car for. Here's a man that I feel like ought to glory in, someone that made the level of commitments he did. And these are things that we ought to glory, you know, tell other people about. I knew someone. You know, Paul said, I knew someone that had been caught up in the third heaven. Lord, help us to be willing to glorify and repeat. I believe it's the scripture says here, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. May the Lord help us all to be found in the way of righteousness as we... We're not going to avoid old age unless we die young. And may the Lord help us to be found in our older age in the way of righteousness. And may all of us be willing, instead of glorying in something that's irrelevant or something that's inappropriate, may we glory in those that we know that's been faithful, that's been a good example. The ones you could hang your hat on. The ones you could anchor to. May the Lord help us to glory in that. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in the second verse, it says here, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. Man, and especially those in leadership, are recognized for their ability to prove something or to uncover something. Did you know that's something to be honored? And we ought to honor that. You know that this follows. It's honorable for men to search things out. It's part of God's command to have dominion over the earth. It's part of God's intent for us as mankind to be able to subdue our surroundings. And I believe he wants it to be an honorable place. I want us to approach it with a sense of respect. Just like it adjusts how you would handle something because you honored what it means. Maybe it's something that's an antique or something that it's from your ancestors or whatever. I believe we ought to approach searching out with honor. Lord, I thank you for the abilities you've given me, and not try to use it for a selfish, self-centered thing, but recognize that the way we approach this ought to be it ought to be in a way that God can put his approval on. One that he can put his sanction on. It's honorable to be able to understand. It's honorable to be able to have knowledge. And may God help us to approach it that way. It's something others esteem and respect. You ever known someone that seemed to have the right words of comfort or the right words of wisdom? There's a level of respect. There's honor that goes with that. And I believe that we all ought to behave ourselves in a manner where we can have a place of honor in one another's hearts and lives. You remember what we said about glorying? If you really glory in something, you don't diminish it. You don't diminish it, okay? So I'd like to, some people would like to glory in things and they don't have the opportunity. And I believe that's not something that we have to feel self-conscious about, but it is something that we just have to be aware of. And so I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and just notice a couple verses here, a lot of things in the 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, but I want to notice verses 11 and 12. It says, "Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also..." I'm not in the right verse here. I want to be 14 and 15. "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." There is something about long hair and being connected with the woman that's intended to be a glory. If it's intended to be a glory, I want to challenge us to not diminish that glory. I want to challenge us to, just like, I'm just thinking about the things I've heard people glory in that sounded disgusting, and how they just told you over and over and over what they did, and how, you know, it's like, I wish you just wouldn't tell me that anymore. But they didn't want to stop, and you couldn't hardly teach them or ask them the right way to diminish that. And I'd like for us to be that way about this. It says, if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Lord, help us to not diminish the glory that God intends for us to have, all of us, the glory of old age, the glory of knowledge, the honor that we ought to have for knowledge and the respect for that, but recognize, like Sir Isaac Newton did, that every time that he discovered something in the world, in the field of science, he was grateful that God helped him to understand that, and he felt like it gave him a better understanding of the magnificence of God. And I believe we ought to look at knowledge that way too. Lord, as I gain more understanding, I realize the magnitude of the capabilities you have given mankind. And we ought to have honor for that. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand this. Have you ever had, I'm going to tell you I have you ever had times when you didn't know what to do? You didn't know how something worked, you didn't know how something was supposed to function, and you asked God to give you understanding, and then it was like a revelation. I've had those times, and I've had to say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to figure this out. Thank you for giving me the understanding. I appreciate every time that the Lord has helped me in that way, and I want to keep it. I want it to cause me to adjust and dictate how I approach knowledge and how I approach understanding, knowing that this is a gift from God. This is something He has helped me with, and I want to have the right respect for that and not just carelessly throw it out and say, well, you know, some are born smarter than others, and oh, it just comes natural. No, it's a blessing from the Lord, and I need to act that way, all right? I need to act the way, thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to have the integrity that I should have. I'd like to go and end with 2 Timothy, the second chapter. This is the chapter that has a verse in it that teaches us to study, to show ourselves approved. I'd like to go here and read verses 20 and 21. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verse 20 and 21. It says, but in a great house are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. A lot of different pipes in our house. You know what? Years ago, we didn't have houses with running water or any kind of plumbing system, and you carried everything in and you carried everything out. But today we have pipes. So we could say, in a great house, there's pipes to honor and pipes to dishonor. There's things that bring fresh things in and take used up stuff out. And I'm thankful for pipes, and I'm thankful for vessels. And it says in the next verse, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from what? Well, you need to read the rest of the chapter, okay? You need to read the other things that's in there. One of the things he told us to do in the 15th verse was to study. And down below this, he tells us to flee youthful lust and stay away from foolish and unlearned questions and avoid the things that gender strife and all that. He gives a lot of instruction in this chapter, but he says in the 21st verse, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. A man to honor. Specified or sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I believe when we ask God to help us to be prepared for every good work, there's a level of honor that ought to come with that. There's a level of glory that ought to come with that. And I'm not trying to put man in the same level or the same realm of God, because we never will be, and it's not an objective of mankind. It's not a desire that mankind ought to have to be equal with God. But there is honorable places for men to feel. I'm talking about mankind. There are things that ought to be glorified and tell others. There's ought to be the stories that ought to be repeated over and over and over again. The things that we want to tell others about what God's blessings has been, there ought to be things that's glorified in our everyday lives. I don't think it's right for us to glorify the things that's not pleasing to God. But there are pleasing things to the Lord that should be glorified, that should be lifted up. There should be honor bestowed upon mankind that's living in a way that's acceptable and pleasing before the Lord. So I desire your prayers. I want to live in a way that when my age catches up with my hair, that other people will have a level of honor and respect. It's not something that's like, hell, grouchy old man. No, I want to be something better than that. I want to be something that someone can say, that's an honorable person. That's a man that has lived a life of integrity. I want to have that. And I want you to have that too. And I believe there's a place of honor. And there's circumstances that we can glorify completely in accordance with God's word. So I trust you'll take a little thought this morning and apply it in the right way to your hearts and lives. You pray for me.